Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Savor the moment, Cameron. You've just recorded the 13th sub-60 round in the history of the PGA Tour. What a fabulous round of golf that was.
That was Cameron Young yesterday as he fired a 59 to move his way up the leaderboard. The first sub-60 round that we've had on the PGA Tour this year. Funny enough, not the course record, though, out at TPC River Highlands. That belongs to Jim Furyk. He had a 58 back in 2016.
Yeah. How about that? You shoot 59 and sorry, buddy.
Not the course record
here. It's pretty good, but it's not the course record.
Just one shy there. But yeah, Cameron Young, fantastic yesterday, and he's already off and running today with a birdie on one. So he is one under through one right now. But an epic round yesterday that featured seven birdies, a pair of eagles, including a hole out from just over 140 yards out, and a very, very clutch putt on 18 as well that he got to fall to secure himself a sub 60 from 9 feet out. And that was one hell of a round for Cameron Young. You know what? It always makes me laugh, too, whenever I see Cameron Young out on the golf course because he's got the MLB patch on his collar. So, you know, baseball viewership going to be up here today on a Sunday. But I've really enjoyed watching him because, remember, he has really been in the thick of things. He's never really been in the hunt for the majors, but he was out there. What was it? Was it the British Open when Cam Smith Young he was in the thick of it there. He's been in the thick of it for some Masters as well, but one of those young up-and-coming guys who we're going to start talking about as being one of the prime candidates to be a first-time major winner breakthrough type of performer. And albeit this not being a major now, but this could be one of those building blocks where we get to the British Open and he could find himself very well in the thick of things there.
Yeah, I definitely think Cameron Smith is ultimately, or Cam Young is ultimately going to be a major championship winner. He's got the kind of game, but more importantly, I think he has the mentality for it. He plays difficult golf courses well, and he hits it an absolute mile. And when he is on, there's not any better because, you know, he even had a kick-in eagle at 15 because he drove the green.
Yeah.
You know, so Cam is one heck of a player. Had an interesting day yesterday, as you mentioned, the seven birdies, the two eagles. He did make 115 feet of putts, so the putter was going. But here's what's interesting. He only hit six fairways out of 14 yesterday.
Yeah.
So he wasn't driving the ball particularly straight, but he was obviously the bombing and gouging was working because he still hit 15 of 18 greens. So,
and he only needed 24 putts.
That's it. So when you get the putter going, I mean, it's amazing how it can, you know, save your game or take your game to that next level, because he admitted in the press conference that he didn't even want to get out of bed yesterday. He really said, I just really wanted to sleep in, and went to the golf course. He goes, I just warmed up like I normally do. So, you know, he's obviously got that discipline, which leads to that consistency, and it paid off. Sometimes it pays off when you're least looking for it. And he said there was nothing special that happened on the range or anything. It just, he got out there, and sometimes the golf gods just do that to you. And he had it going. And once the momentum started getting there, he then experienced what I would consider rarefied air. I mean, remember, he's the 13th guy to go sub 60 in the history of the PGA Tour. So, you know, but what was interesting, his first 17 holes, and then he knew after that birdie at 17 that if I par, all I got to do is par 18. Right. Mm-hmm. That's it. If I make birdie, I can tie the course record. But he played, all of a sudden, his game switched a little bit. Things got a little bit tighter. He left the ball up short. He had to pitch it up there. And while people say 9 feet, it was 9 feet, 10 inches. It was almost every bit of 10 feet. And so he did make a very clutch side door putt on 18 to secure the 59. And, you know, whether you have ball in hand or not, 59 is still 59. Yeah. You still have to put that ball in the hole. And congratulations to him.
A lot of 59s are hit, too, with the ball in hand.
Mm-hmm. For as good a guys as these players are, putting a ball in their hand like that in winter rules is going to result in some low scores. But, he's cruising along. Now, what's going to be interesting to see what he does today, because it's human nature to go, well, you know, by this time I was already 5 under par. So to try to pace yourself on that next round, I always find to be the most difficult to string two of these back to back, or at least come in with like a 65 or a 64 today. And then he could find himself right there.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Looking at the leaderboard, very strong one. This is one of those elevated events as well. $20 million purse. Tom Kim, your leader right now, sole possession of first. By the way, they are all teeing off. The last group will tee off at about 8 minutes from now, 10:15 Central Time, because of weather in the area. They're also going off in threes as well. Tom Kim, Akshay Bhatia, Scotty Scheffler is the final grouping today. Akshay and Scotty each 1 stroke off the lead at 17 under. Xander Schauffele 16 under. He's tied with Sungjae Im. And then Tony Finau, Colin Morikawa at 15 under right now. They're tied for 6. So there is a very stacked leaderboard right now. And it's just one of those things, these elevated events, man. You get the best of the best, and you get rounds like what we saw yesterday with Cameron Young. And looking at how this thing will shake out to close it, Scotty is your favorite, despite being 1 stroke off the lead. But Tom Kim, a 62 from him in round one, and he really hasn't looked back ever since. 62, 65, 65 for Tom Kim. And it's been an up and down year for Tom so far this year. He's had some really strong rounds, but he's also had some rounds that really just put him out of a tournament as well. And so far, he's been able to avoid that in the early going. And let's see if he can close it out here on Sunday.
Yeah, it'd be quite the birthday present for the 22-year-old. You know, he turned 22 yesterday, and Scotty Scheffler, I believe, turned 28. That was both their birthdays yesterday. So, not a bad way to spend a birthday weekend, just firing on all cylinders, playing some great golf. But, you know, the difference, the stark contrast between last Sunday and this Sunday, if you're on the leaderboard. Last Sunday, par, pretty good score.
Yeah.
Par, uh-uh. Today, everybody's coming to the golf course with their dragster, with their engine going, and it's going to be pedal to the metal. Who can make the most birdies? And that's what this is going to be today. So it is going to be an absolute contrast to what we just saw out at Pinehurst. This is going to be a birdie rama out here. And it's going to be fun to watch. It will literally be quite the horse race.
Yeah. And you look at it, too. It's a fun leaderboard in the sense that you've got established guys that have already won majors this year. And Scotty and Xander right there in the thick of things. No more than 2 strokes off the lead. But you've also got two of the young, up-and-coming names in the sport as well, with Tom Kim being your sole leader right now, and then Akshay Bhatia as well, who's 1 stroke off the lead. Both of those guys really are invigorating the game a little bit with their youth, with their presence off the course. Tom Kim, a big part of a full swing. Akshay, a big part of what the tour does on social media and all that stuff. So both of these guys, great ambassadors for the game, young figures within the game. And then you've also got your classic guys like the Morikawas, Xanders, Scotties, Tony Finaus, Patrick Cantlay is all in the mix as well. Justin Thomas and Shane Lowry both playing well as well. So all these guys are in the mix. It's a good collection of leaders that the PGA Tour has right now.
It is, and it's going to be a great learning lesson if they don't even win in Tom or Akshay. But for them to be in this position with Scotty Scheffler, Xander, breathing down your neck, who just won major championships, and, you know, so it's going to be, you know, a new learning experience. It's going to be a new uncomfortableness for Tom and Akshay, but it's an uncomfortableness that they have to learn to get comfortable with if they decide to try to take their game to the next level and to try to walk in the same footprints as Scottie Scheffler and Xander in terms of major championships and reappearing on top of big-time leaderboards, meaning signature events, yeah. majors or otherwise. I think Tom, Kim, and Akshay are the future of the PGA Tour. Those two individuals right there yeah. have the brightest of futures.
Yeah, those two, I'd throw like a Sahith Theegala in there as yes. well. Obviously, Ludvig Åberg. But yeah, in the case of guys like Akshay and Tom Kim, they've won on the PGA Tour before. Tom's got three, Akshay's got two, but they haven't won an event like this one no. where you've got Scottie Scheffler breathing down your neck. You've got Xander Schauffele breathing down your neck. They haven't won those type of events quite yet.
Yeah, they haven't yet, but that's just part of the maturation process that we get to now see as fans. As a result of this whole LIV situation, we now get blessed with guys like Tom Kim and the Akshay Bhatias of the world. And getting to know these players, watching them come into their own. So it could be a very, very nice birthday weekend for Tom Kim or Scotty. Not that Scotty needs the money, but Tom Kim, 22,
yeah.
he could probably stand to use a $4 million plus, you know, that he'll walk away
oh,
with.
Absolutely.
You know, but a $20 million purse they're playing for this week. So no. that's no chump change.
Nope, no doubt about it. All right, when we come back. It's been a hot week here in the city. Oh, it's you're going to get some 90s this week as well, but that doesn't mean you have to take some time off of your game because it's too hot out. And we'll kind of go through some of the ways that you can still get and fine tune your game despite the heat. We'll do all that when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking golf with you, usually on Saturdays all throughout the golf season. Today on Sunday, we did have an hour yesterday. If you missed any of that, check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Download that ESPN Chicago app. Take us on the go with you. The weather has been very, very hot. I think we've seen some record highs as of late as well. And for a lot of people, that means, you know what? It's too hot to golf. I'm not going to go out there. I can't spend 18 holes out there. I can't go out. It's not worth going out to practice a little bit at the range, putting greens, what have you. But I think much in the way that we've seen golf become a year-round sport because of the inception of simulators and indoor practice facilities in the Chicagoland area, not only does it extend the season into the winter for avid golfers, but it also on weeks and days where it is in the high 90s, maybe even 100 out, it has extended the golf season for an indoor facilities and for people to go practice inside. And people, I don't think necessarily think of that as much because they think of the X Golfs and the Five Irons and the Golf Techs as, oh, those are winter spots for me. That is part of my winter season. When in reality, it can be a critical part of the summer season as well when the temperatures do get a little too high.
It really does. And for me, I took a page right out of that book when during the week I went over to X Golf on Wednesday or Thursday when it was really hot. And honestly, I did it, you know, on the way home and I didn't have to worry about sunlight. I could do it even in the evening.
Yeah.
And that was the nice thing about it, to be able to practice in a quality fashion in an environment that doesn't have me sweating bullets. I mean, right. And it's just pouring into your hands and on your glove. Then you're not getting a good grip. then all you can think about is how soon is this over?
Right.
And when am I going to get home? Like, I just don't want to be this wet and sticky and just, So yesterday I ended up going over to Golf Tech and was able to practice indoors as well as use the cameras to look at the feedback in terms of the swing and technique and things of that nature. And then they also have a putting green. And one of the things the other part of the industry has gotten so good at is in the turf. That they can now make AstroTurf or indoor putting turf, hitting turf, whatever, to be so realistic.
Like the putting mats that you can buy now on Amazon and stuff like that, those have become even more and more and more realistic as well.
Right. And if you have one of those, I have a 9-footer at home where I can just roll and roll and roll. Now, is it like the grass? No, but it's at least getting repetitions and helping build that muscle memory without having to sit in the sun and just getting baked out. But yeah, it really, to your point, we can look at these indoor facilities and these resources as a new way to practice during the season when it gets so terribly hot outside. And as a result, it does afford us the luxury of like practicing even at night, like at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Cantini, for example, is now open until 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And as is Cog Hill, as is St. Andrews. In fact, I think they go to 11 because they have the lighted range. They have the cover. So you can hit balls while you're still indoors, but one side is open. Three sides are closed, and you have a heater above you in the event that you would need it. So you can practice when it's pouring rain in Chicago now. When I was growing up in the game, that technology and that convenience just wasn't there. So I think when, you look outside and you're like, I'd love to play, but it's just so hot, consider indoors. It's not a bad way to go. And what I found is the 2 hours went by so fast, and it was really a lot of good quality practice. So I went home very proud of the way I practiced, or I felt good about where my game is when I left. And that's a good feeling to have as you take it into your next round.
And I believe the Golf Center in Des Plaines is open till midnight.
Oh, and that may be.
And they've got the lighted night course as well, the little par three that they've got there. They've got the short game area. There's the putting greens and all that stuff. Like, they've got fantastic facilities. I remember going there when I was in high school, and I would leave my house at 10:30, go from Glenview to Des Plaines and take it all the way to like 11:45 and then head on home. Like, you could do it at any hour. So if it is going to be really hot during the day, maybe it's only like 80 degrees at night. You can go out, practice. There's nothing wrong with 80 degrees with no sun out. I think that feels really good, and you can go out, practice in that all day.
Well, that's what we would do when we were down in Florida. We would do a lot of night practicing, and they have a lot of lighted ranges just for that very reason. But, the other thing that I'll often do is I'll even go to a PGA Superstore. They have bays too. But what they also have is they also have a putting green.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty of practicing there is you can go around and practice with all different types of putters. So that's exactly what I did at Golf Tech. I tried about every different putter they had on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I rediscovered the love of my regular putter again.
So you're back.
So
you're
back.
Go through your putting journey, your evolution there.
So, but I've always putted with a long putter for the last 20 some years, trying to go to a short one. Sometimes I question why I'm doing it, but I just find, a different kind of joy in trying to figure this out. But my go-to is to go back to the long one if I ever get in trouble, and that sometimes happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I am trying something with this short putter now. And what was interesting, they have these little gadgets, and it's like a mirror that shines right up to show you where your eyes should be and really where and how the putter should rest. Because I like to put the toe up and the heel, like, rested on its heel. And I discovered yesterday that I can make a much better stroke if I get closer to the ball and more upright. And so that's really what yesterday taught me. And, man, I had that thing locked in pretty well. So I'm excited to go take it out on real grass today.
That's awesome. So you're continuing to tweak with the putter, huh?
But it goes back to still the man with two watches still can't tell time. And, but I am. But if we're playing something really, really serious, the long putter goes back in.
Yeah.
It just has to.
But yeah, getting it back to some of the indoor facilities as well. I remember, I believe it was last summer. Yeah, last summer I was going to go hit some balls out at the Diversity Range, and I'm walking there, and it is probably like 90, 92 out, and I'm like, do I really want to sit in this and hit balls outside during like prime sunshine hours? And then I'm headed down that way. I'm at Sheffield, and I don't remember what the other cross street was. And I was like, wait, I can take a left here, go all the way up to the X Golf in Wrigleyville, and hit inside. And that's exactly what I did, because it's just, I'm going to be inside in the air conditioning. I can play a simulated 18 holes if I want to. And if you're just by yourself, you can breeze through that in a moment's notice. And then on top of that, too, or you could just hit balls as like a practice range, too, and just kind of see and get a feel for that. And when you're there, you're getting all your specs. You're getting your club speed. You're getting your distances. Numbers. You're getting all that stuff. Everything is there for you. It's high tech. It's a little more pricey than what you would be doing if you were just going to the range. But, I mean, I've got my CDGA membership. You get your 10% off there, too. So it all kind of helps out, and I think getting some of those numbers, especially when you're going season to season as well, where I think it was like early in the season that year too, or maybe I hadn't played a lot of rounds yet, and I was starting to notice like, all right, I'm hitting my, I had switched what my 150 club was. I had switched. It used to be a 7, now it's an 8. And it's just kind of getting and feeling out all those different distances for all your clubs at that point. And I think that going to a facility like that, or sometimes what the Skokie range, any of these ones with the top tracer bays that give you all of your different specs, are the ones that I think give you the best practice. And especially if you're a beginning golfer, one of the most important things when you're playing, I never mind playing with a newer golfer, but it's when you have to caddy for them as well. Like, what do I hit here? What do I hit? Well, do you know what your distances are? No, I don't. Okay, well, that's step one, is figuring out what your distances are for your different clubs. And when you go to these top tracer ranges, that's where you get all of those specs and can kind of figure out what the consistency is. And I think you just start with your finding out what your 150 stick is and then move from there.
You know, and you bring up an excellent point and something that I did yesterday, and I'll do this from time to time. First and foremost, if and when you go to a simulator, look at all the options of practice screens you have. Mm-hmm. Don't just settle for the standard practice range or driving range where it's just wide open. It looks like you're in somewhere in nice California, right?
Yeah.
There is a setting. And what I did yesterday is I played with the 30-yard fairway.
Was that Golf Tech?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it had water on both sides all the way down. It was just a strip. And you had to put that ball on the strip, and the video doesn't lie. I mean, it gives you all your numbers. But here's the cool part. Instead of hitting their golf balls, I hit all my Titleist Pro V1s. Mm-hmm. So my numbers were exact to the ball I used. I wasn't using the two-piece TaylorMade ball that they had there, or, you know, I actually took balls out of my bag and just used those. So from a distance control, I now know that I can hit my 8-iron when I absolutely flush it with no wind. I can get that thing out to about 170 yards nice. On a carry.
Yeah.
Now, that's full max, full tilt. But now when I go back to the 80%, 85% consistent swing, I now know that a stock 8-iron is 164, 165 yards all day.
Yeah.
And now I have all the confidence in the world because I did it with my golf balls instead of saying, well, you know, I thought. And then you have to just factor wind, and then you got to factor whether you're in the rough or on the fairway and that kind of stuff. But if you're really trying to dial in and get distance control figured out, going to one of these indoor places is like magic.
Yeah.
And that's what I experienced yesterday. Mm-hmm. So good stuff.
The technology these days is so good.
Very
as well.
Good.
It's impeccable what they're able to do with the technology behind all this stuff now. And I think on top of that, I mean, some of these simulators and there's people who build simulators inside their own homes as well. And like some of these things are really like high tech technology. And you can, some of them have come with like little sand bays too that you can hit out of like little sand bays whenever you do have a bunker shot. So all of it's good practice, and all of it is really, I think, beneficial for the modern golfer that there's ways to practice now that you could have never even imagined existed beforehand.
And a lot of people are bringing that indoor technology into their own homes, whether it's, like you said,
yeah.
I have a friend of mine who spent about $60,000.
Oh, wow.
And took out his living room. Now, you walk into the house, the room to the right, that's the simulator. It used to be his wife's reading room. She now has to go upstairs, but he's got cameras. And he also has a son who's an excellent player. But then I've also seen it on the down and dirty. You just go ahead and get yourself a simulator, don't scrimp on the mat and a net, and you can put that thing in your garage, and it feeds the same way. Just put a white sheet behind it so that the visuals come up from the from the machine itself, from the simulator. And what I would only say is get a stronger bulb, because I've learned that from my friends. And that thing is vivid on there. And for less than like $1,000, you can have an indoor range.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go nuts with this thing, but you can create an affordable solution indoors in your own living area, work area.
Or even backyards. Like certain places, like backyards, I've seen and heard a lot about people putting in some sort of simulator technology into the backyard, the hitting nets and all that stuff, and it works pretty well.
It does. And when you can make practice more convenient, it's just like anything else. It's like, you know, a fitness program and going to your fitness club. You only go if it's a part of your day and it's convenient. If you, the more convenient you can make practice, the better you're just going to be.
Absolutely. All right, 312-332-3776 if you want to talk a little bit of indoor golf with us. And also, we will get to what's going on at the Women's PGA Championship as well, taking place out in Washington. All that coming up next. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. We'll tell you what's going on around the CDGA coming up in just a little bit. But first, we've got the KPMG Women's PGA Championship taking place right now out in Sammamish, Washington at Sahali Country Club. And no Nelly Korda as she missed the cut. And it's kind of been win or miss the cut for her.
Really?
Here in 2024. Amy Yang, your current leader right now, 2-stroke lead over Lauren Hartledge and Miyu Yamashita. Lexi Thompson, by the way, currently tied for 5th at 3-under right now. So this is taking place right now, but it kind of lacking a little bit of the star power, but Lexi Thompson right there in the thick of things at 3-under.
Yeah, and you know something about Amy Yang, if, you know, for folks, first off, tune in and watch the ladies on NBC.
Going to be NBC from 2 to 6 local time.
And you should be able to see the end because the PGA Tour is going off so early.
Yeah.
First and foremost, the pictures from Lake Sammamish and Sahali are absolutely exquisite. We don't see trees like they do there. It almost feels like you're hitting down a bowling alley every hole. It is so cool. The ball hardly ever gets above any tree lines down there. And what's really interesting there is when you're in the sunlight, the temperature might be, you know, 80 degrees. You go into the shade there, that temperature will drop 10 to 15 degrees just like that. And it's pretty wild. And Amy Yang is a journey person because she's not a man, but this is her 75th major championship, and she hasn't won one yet.
Yeah.
She is on the doorstep of finally breaking through. So this could be one heck of a cool story for Amy Yang. Lexi Thompson, as you mentioned, she recently announced her retirement.
Yeah.
But ever since, she's playing the best golf of her life. So I think maybe she should have tried to retire maybe at the age of 13, because based on how she's playing, which begs the question, are you going to really retire
based
on this?
Or is this just the ultimate microcosm of what golf is. You're playing your best golf right as you're about to retire, and it just keeps bringing you back.
It does. And, you know, does that speak back to, again, load management? Is it better for her to kind of come in and pick her points where she wants to versus having that regular tour grind week in and week out? So it's going to be really interesting to see how she finishes today and then how she goes about the rest of the season as it relates into next year. And then what about social phenom Charlie Hull tied for 12th?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I only in golf, women's golf, can a woman put a cigarette in her mouth and overnight she becomes an overnight media star. Just amazing.
Yeah.
And she's having a lot of fun with it. So a lot of cool stuff going on in the ladies' game. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll watch some of the most fundamental great golf swings there. And for me, this has been a lot of fun. I spent time out at Sahali in 1998. Doing the first major championship that community ever saw in the 98 PGA Championship when Vijay Singh won. And it is literally God's country out there. It is so, so beautiful and so uniquely different in their golf than what we experience here. Their grasses are much greener. They play on Poana greens because the temperatures don't get too terribly hot out that way. But their summers are absolutely exquisite. Winters, terrible. They are rainy, London, gray.
Yeah.
But those people out in the Great Northwest are passionate about golf, passionate about being outside. And whether it rains or not in the winter, they just go outside and still do stuff. I mean, it's just a kind of a... like a light misting all the time, but it doesn't bother them in the least. And they just go on out and keep doing what they do. They go to soccer games. They attend their kids' events. And it's just the way of life. But the summers, I have never seen more beautiful summers than the summer of 1998 when we did the PGA there. It was just absolutely exquisite is the only word that comes to mind.
Yeah, it is a very different, I mean, just like any sort of thing. Like we talked about, you get some of the taste of the Southern Gulf with Pinehurst last week. We saw you get a little Midwest as well with Valhalla. Like every single region, different types of courses. You get different grasses here. You get different temperatures, different playing conditions all across the country. And the Pacific Northwest is just another one of those different type of atmospheres and different type of challenges. And that's the thing that makes this game so interesting is that a guy might just be really good in Texas. Another guy might be really good in the Midwest. Another guy might be great at Pebble Beach. It's amazing how you can go coast to coast, north to south, and you can find different types of... And you can be humbled by it, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Scotty got humbled last week down at Pinehurst. Like, you go to these different areas of the country, and some things just aren't suited for your game.
And Johnny Miller was a classic about that. He'd win everything in California and everything out in Arizona. And then when that tour swung to Florida, Johnny Miller would just disappear. He hated Bermuda grass, and he readily admitted it. So he struggled when the tour went down to those areas. But once they got to bent grass, Johnny Miller reappears because Johnny Miller won opens, and Johnny Miller is just a heck of a golfer. But you're right. And so this weekend, if you really take a look geographically at what we got going in professional golf this week, weekend, we are in Seattle to Hartford with the men's and the women's game. And then the seniors are up in Endicott, New York, and the LIV is down in Nashville.
Yeah.
And every one of these tours has a horse race and a shootout going on that is going to be entertaining as all heck to get on. So we have an early start with the PGA. You got a little live in the middle of the day, and then you can end it with the ladies at the end of the day.
Yeah. And that's the nice thing too about the time zones as well.
Right.
Like some people love the West Coast US Opens and stuff like that because, you get the primetime golf as you're eating dinner and stuff like that. And some people, they like it a little bit earlier in the day. So that way you're done at 5-6 o'clock and then you can call it a day after that. So, real quick, bit of a traveler's, update going right now. Cam Young, 4 under through 4. He has birdied each of his first four holes after firing a 59 yesterday, the 13th ever sub-60 round on the PGA Tour. So he has picked up right where he left off, and he is currently one stroke off of the leader, Tom Kim, right now.
That's amazing. And here again, another young, up-and-coming superstar. This is going to be a wonderful, wonderful day of golf, and I'm looking forward to it.
Everybody, by the way, on the course at this point. So Tom Kim, your leader, he is even through one today. He is at 18 under. Cameron Young has moved into that tie for second, along with Xander Schauffele, who's one under through two, and Scottie Scheffler, who is off and running. He's even through one. All three of them are one stroke off the lead. Sungjae Im at 16 under is tied for fifth, as is Colin Morikawa. Akshay Bhatia as well. Akshay bogey on one, Colin with a birdie early on, so that put him in a tie for fifth right now. Tony Finau and Shane Lowry also each one under. They are at 15 under for the tournament, three strokes off the lead and tied for eighth. So a lot of great golf being played across the country right now, but I don't think anyone's playing better than Cameron Young is from what we've seen the last 2 days and what he has done to start off today. Again, four under through four, just less than 24 hours removed from shooting 59 in round three on that moving day Saturday.
And the only golfer that I can even begin to come up with that might be as hot as he is down in Nashville, and that's Tyrell Hatton, who made six birdies in seven holes to finish yesterday. And he's atop of the leaderboard at LIV, right over the top of John Catlin and Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, and Cam Smith. Talk about another good leaderboard.
Yeah.
So, folks, you got a lot of good golf to watch today.
Yep. No doubt about that. All right. When we come back, we will go around the CDGA, tell you what is happening as we close things out on this Sunday. It's all coming up next. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Second brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Thank you to Charlie Bevins for producing today. You know, Charlie and I walked in matching today.
Like, I noticed that.
Exactly matching today.
And I felt left out.
We have the same exact CDGA, like, navy blue polo on. We both have gray shorts, and we both have a white hat.
I thought I missed the memo when I walked in. I looked at my shirt, and it didn't match your two. And I have that shirt, and I didn't. And I almost wore it, but I didn't get the memo. So I'm not one of the cool kids.
No, I don't know if that makes us cool. I think it makes us dorks. You may be the cool one among us three. So, real quick, what is going on around the CDGA, Mike?
Well, there's a lot going on. First and foremost, folks, if you haven't yet, be on the lookout for this month's Chicago District Golfer magazine with Chicago's Roger Steele on the cover, how we're making golf not only cool but inclusive. And there's a ton of great stories in there, especially the one in the back towards the back about the Chicago Adaptive Open. Next weekend, June 29th and the 30th, we will have our inaugural Chicago Adaptive Open at course number 3 at Cog Hill. Some of the best adaptive players from all around the country are coming in, with the likes of an Evan Mathias and a Jonathan Snyder. And Evan is a double amputee who, when he came in and played his practice round last week, just made about six birdies, shot 70, two under, with a double bogey.
Wow.
So just when you don't or when you think you can't do something, I highly encourage anyone to come on out to Cog Hill next weekend and watch how these men and women play this game. They're going to be playing for $15,000 cash purse. So a lot of the players in the field are professional adaptive players. They go around the country, and this is what they do. So they just finished up an event down in Georgia. We are the one stop before the USGA's Adaptive US Open out in Kansas. So if all goes right, we're trying to bring a U.S. Open to Chicago. We haven't been shy about it. We would like to bring a U.S. Adaptive Open to the city. And the way we think we're going to do it is putting on one of the best adaptive regular, you know, year-to-year tour events, if you will. And that's going to all get started this weekend. We have a practice round Friday. And Saturday and Sunday, 36 holes. This is a world ranking event for these guys. And we're going to be blessed with the likes of a two-time U.S. Open champion in Andy North. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in town. He's behind this adaptive movement. He's got some technology and some products that he's bringing to market that are going to be specific for this audience as well as for the regular players. And we're going to learn a little bit about that next week when we have him on the air. And I love the quote that Walter Hagen once said. He said, you know, anyone can win the U.S. Open, but it takes somebody really, really good to win two of them. So we're going to have some fun with Andy North next weekend.
Yeah. And looking forward to it.
So, folks, no ticket charge. You can come on out and have a great time and support the athletes. Again, first tee time will be at 10:10 on Saturday and again on Sunday out at Cog Hill number 3. It promises to be a great time. Other things going around the CDGA. CDGA members, you have a certain benefits coming to you, and I think, Tyler, you mentioned it. 10% off of X Golf. So if you want to come in from the heat, practice at night, out of the rain, you know, come on out to any one of the Chicagoland X Golfs, show your CDGA membership, and enjoy 10% off. And also remember, we have a continual Jersey Mike's offer. $2 off at any one of the Chicagoland Jersey Mike's by, again, showing your CDGA membership. And then we also offer to our members a CDGA golf shop. And, you know, our philosophy is that we offer the best CDGA logoed and apparel and accessories from our preferred vendors at the industry's best prices. And you just go to cdga.org, log into your portal, because it's behind username and password. This is only for CDGA members. And some of the buys you can have, for example, the hat that I have.
I was just going to say, you've got a beautiful Titleist CDGA branded hat on today.
Now, this hat normally is $40, but in the CDGA store, you can get it for $28.
Wow.
And that includes shipping. So how about this for golf balls? If you get Pro V1s, $54.99, they're shipped to your door. You would pay tax and all of that and gas going to PGA Superstore. You can get Titleist, Callaway, Strixons at the cheapest prices shipped to your front door by our staff here at the CDGA. So CDGA members, take advantage of it. A lot of great stuff, cdga.org, and hit your portal, and that's it.
All right. We will talk to you next week. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We'll talk to you next week.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.